Years of time have come and gone since I first heard it told how Jesus would come again someday. If back then it seemed so real, then I just can't help but feel how much closer his coming is today. Upon the eastern sky, lift up your head, redemption groweth nigh.
Good morning, radio friends, and welcome to another Redemption Time broadcast. This is Brother Larry Knowles, the host of this broadcast, and I appreciate everybody that listens and appreciate you this morning for being here with us, and trust that the Lord will bless you for taking the time to spend to listen and to be with us this morning. Now, let me give you my church announcements. There at Mount Tabor Road in Maryville, Tennessee. We are the Maryville Baptist Tabernacle. Brother Rick Smeltzer is our pastor. We begin our Sunday morning service at 9:45 for Sunday school, 10:45 for morning worship, and then Sunday night at 6 and Wednesday night at 7. Invite you to come and be in these services if you can. Now, this week we are having a revival, and Brother Chris Meltzer is preaching each night. He'll be there tonight and tomorrow night, along with the Joy Heirs. I'm going to play you a song by the Joy Heirs here in a minute. And trust that it'll be a blessing to you. And that if you want to hear these people sing for real in person, come on out tonight and tomorrow night, and they'll be there at our church singing. This is the final year. They are retiring at the end of this year. So not too many more opportunities left to see these folks in person. I guarantee you they'll bless you. They sing in the Spirit. God honors what they do. And the Holy Ghost moves when they sing, and it's not just the business with them. It's a ministry and a service, and we invite you to come and enjoy them with us, along with the good preaching of Brother Chris. And I know the Lord bless you if you'd like to be with us in these services. Then next week, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, 7 o'clock, we will have another revival, and that one will be Brother Steve Dagenhart out of North Carolina will be doing our messages, and the Watson brothers will be doing the singing. So again, we invite you to come and be in those services, and of course, always on the weekend, our normal services, we invite you to come and be with us. We're the old-fashioned Baptist church. We love people. We love God. Love the Word. We preach the Word. And we still sing songs that honor God and lift Him up and praise Him. So if you'd like to be a part of this, if this sounds like something that you're missing, maybe you'd like to be a part of that, we invite you to come. Give us a try. See what you think. And I believe that you'd like us. Well, now we're going to have a song by the Joy Heirs. Again, like I said, they'll be singing at the church tonight and again tomorrow night. If you'd like to hear these folks sing in person, come and be with us.
Find rest for your weary soul. your burden till you fall neath the weight. But to do so, you'll have to step over God's grace. The cross is just too big, and His grave is still empty in His blood. There is still too much power to save. Down every road, round every bend, there's a promise just waiting. If you miss it, you'll have to step over God's grace.
There's a grace for the blind man and one for the lame and one for broken hearts who will call on His name. If you don't claim your victory, if you can't find your way, you'll have to walk around mercy. Step over God's grace. The cross is just too big, and His grave is too empty in His blood. There is still too much power to save.
Down every road, round every
every bend, there's a promise just waiting. If you miss it, you'll have to step over God's grace.
Well, there you have the song by the Joy Heirs, "You'll Have to Step Over God's Grace." Friend, I'd say that today there's somebody somewhere listening to me that continually steps over the roadblocks that God has put in their path to keep them out of hell. You see, there are many things that in our way that God has put there for our benefit so that we do not have to die and go to hell. There's love that He gave us. There's mercy that He extends to us. There's His grace that reaches out to us when we don't care anything about Him. And then there's a prayer of the people who love us that pray for you. And I'm sure that if the truth be known today, if whoever you are, if you're not saved, my guess is that somebody somewhere is praying for you today, either a family member or a neighbor or a friend or an acquaintance. Somebody that knows you and knows your situation, they're praying for you, and they are entreating God to give you another day of life and asking Him to save you. So, friend, I just have to say this, that if you one day wake up in hell, it'll be because you have stepped over all those obstacles, and in spite of everything God has done, sent His Son all the way from heaven to live in this world, die a vicarious death for you, and to be risen again from the dead. And you'll have to bypass all of that, step over all of that, try to walk through the blood of Jesus on your way to hell. And I do pray today that if you've never been saved, that this will be the day that the Lord will speak to your heart and that you'll surrender. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to be back on the radio today, and for everyone that's listening. Thank you, Lord, for the song. Thank you, Father, for all of the obstacles You've put in our way to keep us from ending up in that place called hell. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ you sent to die for us. Thank you that he came and was willing to suffer the things he did and to purchase our salvation there on that cross at Calvary. Thank you, Lord, for your power that raised him up and assured us that you have the power to save and to secure us. Lord, I pray today for our revival that's coming these 2 weeks. I pray, Lord, that you'll bless. I pray you'll send people in that they might hear the word and, Lord, be encouraged in the word. And I pray, Father, that for those that might be sick today, maybe not feeling well, and maybe having a hard day, I pray, Lord, that you'll bless them, encourage them, lift them up. Father, most of all, as always, if there's one out there that's not saved, that hears our voice, I pray today be the day that you will prick that heart and speak to them about their condition and have them to turn to you before it is too late. Lord, all that you do, we'll praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, last week we started a new series on the subject Christ as the Rock, and that shows up throughout the Bible in many different ways that he's defined as the Rock, and many examples of that throughout the Old and New Testament. And we used as a springboard scripture 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 through 3, which we'll read again, where Paul said, "Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ." So, here we find that on more than one occasion, during the travels of Israel from Egypt to the Promised Land, was that they were constantly running into problems of finding water along the way. They had been delivered from Egypt. They had been delivered by the power of the blood that when the death angel passed through the land and slew the firstborn of each creature and each person, then they were delivered from that by the commandment of God to kill that lamb and put its blood on the doors. And then they gone to the Red Sea, and Satan, through Pharaoh, had them hemmed up against the Red Sea. And then when it looked like that they certainly would die in that place, God miraculously opened up a path through the Red Sea and allowed them to pass. And yet when Pharaoh tried to follow, him and his army were drowned in the depths of the Red Sea. They had a constant problem of finding water as they wandered in the wilderness. And we said that the wilderness is not a forest as you and I think of a wilderness, but it was a desert. Very arid, very dry. Nothing growing there to amount to anything, and water very, very scarce. So we find that they had witnessed the miracle of God at the Red Sea and had moved on, and 3 days later they have not found water, and they came to a place called Marah. And when they got there, the water was there, but they found that the water was bitter. So God showed them a tree that they threw into the waters, and when they did, the waters became sweet. We used that and applied that to how that in this life we encounter bitter things that happen to us. Human beings suffer many things, many bitter things. Disappointments and sicknesses and disappointments and loved ones that maybe turn their back on us, or maybe children that stray and get away from us and get away from the Lord. But the only way that we can somehow sweeten these waters sometimes is if we put the cross in there, the tree that made the cross. And we think about that. And when we think about what Jesus did and what he suffered for us, what he went through to save us, then we should realize that these things that we suffer are but for a little while. I understand that there are many people suffering today in many different ways. This inflation thing has got people suffering for finances, and there's so much sickness, and every time I turn around, somebody else has got cancer. And I tell you, it's bitter sometimes, the incidences that life brings our way. And yet, if we can look back to the cross, that'll help to sweeten it and to lighten our load as we try to go forth and to do God's will. So then today, I want us to come to another story or another account of when they came to another place and they needed water. And so I'm going to read to you from the book of Exodus, chapter 17, just a minute. Got it marked, just got to get to it. Exodus chapter number 17. And all the congregation, beginning with verse 1, all the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin after their journeys according to the commandment of the Lord, and pitched in Rephidim, and there was no water for the people to drink. Wherefore the people did chide with Moses and said, "Give us water that we may drink." And Moses said unto them, "Why chide ye with me? Wherefore do you tempt the Lord?" Now, I want you to notice that these people did not get here of their own accord. They were led there by God. And they came to this place where there was no water. Once again, they are thirsty and they need water. And they have come to Moses and complained to him. And he says, "Why are you complaining to me? Are you tempting the Lord?" Because we're following what God told us to do. We're taking the path that God told us to take. Now, let me say this to you. Sometimes when we take that path, we find that there's deserts. We find there's places where there's dry seasons. We find there are places where there's no water, no refreshment, nothing encourages us. And it seems like sometimes that nothing is going right and nothing is going to turn out right. And yet that's where these people were. Can I say that the Bible said that they pitched in Rephidim? Now, Rephidim is a place that is basically a dead end. There is no water there. There is no life there. There is nothing there that would give us the indication that this was a place where there was any kind of encouragement, that there was any kind of life form there that would be beneficial to us. There was nothing more than this great mass of rock, which is like a sheer face of solid rock, and that's all there is there. And so it's basically a dead end with no water and with no hope for life, because without it, water is life, and without water, there can be no life that can live in this place. And can I say to you today that the Bible speaks about the Word being water. And friend, can I also take that a bit further and tell you that without the Word of God that works in our heart, there can be no eternal life. It has to come through. The Bible says that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And spiritually speaking, you and I, is our lost condition, were at a place called Rephidim. There was nothing there. There was no water of life. There was no hope of life. But thank God there was a rock. And Jesus is that rock. Now, first of all, I want you to notice that this is a rock of reparation. They had found a stone of salvation. Now, what looked like the end of the way turned out to be a blessing. You remember I told you that God led them that way. Well, God didn't lead them out there to be cruel to them. God didn't lead them out there to leave them without any water and without any hope and without any life. He led them out there that he might show them something that would encourage them and that would help them to understand who he was and to appreciate him and to worship him and honor him for who he was. Sometimes in our life, we're brought to places that we don't understand and places that seem so desolate and places that seem so dry and maybe it's things that are so hard for us to understand and maybe we don't understand them, but yet God will sometimes, and if you're a child of God, I can tell you that that these things, if God leads you there, it's because he wants to show you something. He wants to reveal something about himself to you. And sometimes he wants to reveal something about you to you so that you understand and see and know who you are and exactly what you are and how that you can grow in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. So first of all, let me say that he was this rock of reconciliation. That is, he was a stone of satisfaction. Isaiah chapter 53. Let me share with you some thoughts from Isaiah chapter 53, where the Bible said, beginning with verse 3, the Bible said, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. We didn't esteem him. We had no respect for him. We didn't think anything about him. The Lord Jesus Christ, in appearance, was an unassuming man. The Bible tells us clearly that there was nothing about him that we would desire him, that he had no beauty about him. He was not a handsome man. And there was nothing about him that would have appealed to the flesh to have believed that he was the Son of God. There was nothing about him in the flesh itself that would have set him apart except that he lived a sinless life. And that was why that he was able to pay our sin debt when he died. So we find then that he was not esteemed by us. Verse number two, let's go back and pick that up. It said, he shall grow up before him, and that's talking about Jesus, before the Father, as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. If you're looking for some beautiful person, and if all you know is the man Jesus, and you just know him as a Jew that was born to a carpenter, and his wife, and that he lived, and that he was a good man, and that he died. My friend, if that's all you've ever got of Jesus, I'm afraid to tell you, you don't have enough to make it to heaven. Jesus is the only way, but that's not enough. You've got to know him in a different way. And the Bible said after that, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. We did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. So this stone of reconciliation was a smitten rock. It said he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. So, let me also share with you just a couple of verses from chapter 55. And he said, just a minute. Chapter 55, verse 1. It said, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and you labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness." How do you do that? You do that by being reconciled to God through the vicarious death of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But what's that got to do with our story? Well, at Rephidim, there was nothing more than this big, huge rock there. And so the people have come there, and now they're all mad. And so then they want to know what they're going to do and what they're going to, what's going to happen. Well, God told Moses, he said, "You go before the people," there in verse 5 of chapter 17, "and you take with thee of the elders of Israel, and thy rod, wherewith thou smotest the river, take in thine hand and go." He said, "Behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it, that the people may drink." And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel, and he called the name of the place Mazah and Meribah, because of the chiding of the children of Israel, and because they tempted the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" Now, what happened? God told Moses to go out there with his rod and to smite that rock. And when he did, that rock began to bring forth water. Now, I read in your hearing from Isaiah that the Bible said that Jesus was smitten of God. And that's exactly what happened there on Calvary. When he died in our place, he was smitten of God. God turned his back upon him there in that hour of darkness. And so we find that in that hour, God did smite him. He suffered the penalty of death for our sin. Not that sin could kill him, because there was no sin in him, but our sin was put upon him. And in that condition, he did pay the sin debt for you and for me. And he was smitten of God, and he died there. But because of that, out of that rock that is Jesus Christ, the smitten stone, came life-giving water, the water of life, the water of hope, the water of eternal life. And friend, if you've never drank of that fountain, I want to tell you that it's free for all. You haven't done anything that's so bad God can't forgive you. If you're still alive and you're still got a heartbeat, there's still hope for you. God would love to have you come to him today, and just to understand your need for him. All you got to do is understand that you need him, and come and confess to him what he already knows about you, and ask him to save you from your sin and to change your life and to make you a child of God. And I can tell you on the authority of God's word that he'll do that, friend. As I've said many times, Jesus said, "Come unto me, all you labor and heavy loaden, and I'll give you rest." Friend, we're in some awful bad times. If you're not paying attention, you need to understand what's happening in Israel. This thing is shaping up to show to happen exactly as I've been preaching to you all these years. We are on the verge. We are on the very edge of the rapture of the church, because this world is fast shaping up to be ready for the picking, just ripe for the Antichrist to move in and offer peace in the Middle East. And before that happens, God's going to send his son Jesus to get his church, and we're going to be gone. And friend, according to this Bible, If you've heard the gospel during this age of grace and you've rejected the Lord Jesus Christ and never been saved, when that happens, you're going to be sent a strong delusion. You're going to believe the lie and you're going to be damned. You don't have to do that. You've got to step over God's grace. You've got to step over this message. You've got to step over all of the mercies and all of the things that God has done to bring you to a place of understanding your need for Him. And He's done everything that's needed for you to be saved. All you have to do is come to Him and ask Him. The Bible says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, may God bless you till next week. I trust that the Lord spoke into your heart today. You'll get someplace alone, humble your heart, and ask Him to save you. And remember, if you'd like to be in a good old-fashioned revival meeting, hear some good singing by the Joy Heirs, come to the Mount Tabor in Maryville, to the Maryville Baptist Tabernacle tonight, and you can hear that.